We talked this morning about hindering the work of God. This afternoon we want to talk about helping God's work. In John chapter 9, in verses 3 and 4, when Jesus is talking to his disciples about this man that was born blind, they had asked who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus here said that he had to work God's work. To work while he was here. He was working here and then he would go back to heaven. And the work would continue through the ones whom he had chosen and the ones to whom they would preach the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us example that we should follow his steps." Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day." He recognized a sense of urgency. He said, "The night comes when no one can work." There's a sense of urgency about doing God's work. And I want us to think for a little while this afternoon about some things that will help in God's work. Remember, we're working God's work, not man's work. It doesn't matter what I think will help the lost in the world. It doesn't matter what I think I need to do in order to become a child of God. It matters what God said. And so, like Jesus, we must work while we have time. And I wonder sometimes, I wonder about myself at times, am I doing all that I could do, all that I can do, while I'm here in the work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? Jesus told his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." In Matthew's account, Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. In Mark's account, in Mark 16, verse 16, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And the Apostle Paul made the observation that the gospel had been preached in every nation under heaven. And so they did what Jesus asked them to do. The gospel spread to every nation. We were talking in our Bible class Wednesday evening, we were talking about the apostles and what secular history records concerning their work. And if you read those, obviously this is not from Scripture, but what secular history records about their work, it covered pretty much the entire known world at that time. And Paul said it had been preached to every nation under heaven. So they were about doing the work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching people what they needed to do in order to be a child of God. And so, as we think about this, the first thing we want to talk about is the gospel. The only thing that we have to offer people is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the word gospel means. Good news. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." God's word is incorruptible. It is absolutely pure. There are no impurities in the gospel at all. Now, some seed that you might obtain today might have some impurities in it. There might be some foreign types of seed that you really didn't want mixed in. This is the pure, unadulterated Word of God. It lives and abides forever. It's never going to die. It's always viable. It's always productive. In the lives of men and women, it will produce the same today that it did 2,000 years ago. It produces Christians. It is the power of God to salvation. Romans 1 verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To everyone who believes. Anyone, anywhere on this whole planet. I think sometimes we're sort of myopic in our vision. We're short-sighted, nearsighted. And we tend to think only of the people right around us, in our community, or maybe just in our state. Well, we might even get to the point that we're thinking about people all over this country. But the gospel is for people in every nation. You remember what Peter said to Cornelius when he was directed to go down there and preach to this Gentile? That every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, accepted with him. Every nation. That's what Jesus said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In that context, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, you continue reading in verse 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, it's written, the just by faith shall live. In the gospel, God's right dealing, God's righteousness is revealed. Everything God did was right. If you look at creation, when God viewed the creation, he looked and he saw everything was good. God is good. He is the ultimate good. And what he did is good. And what he offers to us is good. God's goodness is extended to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's pure. It's simple. It's not according to man's wisdom. Paul deals with this idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again reading with me at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Now, think about that for a moment. Paul said, what I said didn't come from my own wisdom. It was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And the reason, he said there in verse 5, is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not be in what I say just because I said it. Your faith should be in the Word of God. If what I have taught is indeed the Word of God, then your faith should be in that. He goes on in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that cometh naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This wisdom was in the mind of God even before he created the world. That's the wisdom that we have contained in the Scripture. God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Not just in flowery speeches and pretty words. Faith is not in man's knowledge. The wisdom of man is accumulated, and yes, man has come a long way. When we consider all the technology that we have in our society today and all the things that man is able to do, we have a lot of accumulated knowledge, a lot of accumulated wisdom. When you think about the medical field and what the doctors, the surgeons can do, the technicians can do in trying to cure diseases, it's incredible. The wisdom that man has accumulated. But all that wisdom cannot provide salvation for a single person from a spiritual standpoint. Not one person can be helped by all of man's wisdom. It takes the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And so, that means we must be about preaching this good news, spreading it to anyone, anywhere, anytime. It is the primary obligation of the Lord's church. Jesus told the disciples, we note it in Matthew 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, all power has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. Matthew's account, Matthew 28, verse 18. Go therefore and teach all nations. They were given this commission to go and preach. And Paul, in writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, he said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church that Jesus established, his body, the family of God, is charged with the responsibility of holding forth the word of truth to a lost and dying world. Baptized believers are saved. They're added to the family of God. And therefore the church grows, Acts 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Those who are saved by the gospel are added to the family of God. Preaching of the gospel will cause the Lord's church to grow. It will save them that believe through preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul said, for the act that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That fact doesn't mean that the preaching that's done is foolishness. But this method of spreading the gospel is that which was chosen by God to save a lost world. In Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They believed Philip preaching. Timothy was told to preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Paul gives him a specific charge. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. People will listen to what they want to listen to. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. And we see that happening in our society on a regular basis. There are men who will tell people what they want to hear. What we need to be telling them is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Be ready at all times. When they like it, when they don't like it. In season, out of season. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. This seems primarily to be directed to those who are already Christians. Yes, We need to be exhorted. We need to be cautioned. At times we need reproof. We need rebuke. Because we allow ourselves to become complacent. We allow ourselves to fall back into old habits. To be lazy. Not doing what we know that we're capable of doing in the work of the Lord. So what we're doing is keeping the saved saved. Because the time has come when they wouldn't endure this sound doctrine. We've seen that happen. I've seen it happen in my lifetime. People who would not endure sound teaching, that is wholesome, healthy teaching. That's what the word sound means. They listened to teaching from individuals who were teaching things foreign to what the scriptures taught. And as a result, they went off into error. And it can, and indeed probably will happen. I don't know whether it'll happen again in my lifetime or not, but we know that there's a lot of error that's being taught by a lot of people. On the West Coast, there's a lot of error there on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. A lot of churches in that area, as far as I know, are basically sound on institutionalism, but they're in error on marriage and divorce and remarriage. So from that standpoint, they're really not a faithful church because they're teaching and practicing error. The Word of God will be manifested through preaching. As Paul wrote to Titus, Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching. The word manifest just simply means to make known. His word is made known through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. It is imperative that we understand the importance of preaching. Ben Hall will be going into an area where there's several million people and very, very few Christians. Not a church where he's going to be going. They're going to be establishing a new congregation. The few Christians that live in the area. And they're going to be working. It's going to be a very difficult work. But the charge is simply to preach the word. That then relieves us of our responsibility. When we preach, we teach the Word of God, we make people aware of what the gospel says, then the responsibility is on them. As we say in the common vernacular, then the ball is in their court. I can't make people respond to the gospel, neither can you. But we can preach the gospel. And then as we preach the gospel, we must be faithful. We must be dedicated to this good news. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We got to keep working. There's no time to let up. We don't ever get to retire in our work for the Lord. Our retirement program is in heaven, not here on earth. Revelation chapter 2 verse 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee crown of life. Paul talked about some who did not remain faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There were individuals in the New Testament times that did not remain faithful. When John wrote to the seven churches of Asia, many of those churches, in fact, the most of them, had problems. And one of them, he said they had left their first love, that they were told to repent, or else their candlestick is going to be removed out of its place. You see, they had problems in New Testament time that resulted from people not being faithful to the Lord. As we noted in our study this morning, we influence people by the way that we live. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Salt influences the taste of food. Salt has a preservative effect. Used to cure pork with salt. Salt has medicinal properties. I remember every time I think about it, it bothers me. I saw my cousins, when they would get a cut on their finger or whatever, they go to the crib down at the barn and the sack of salt there and rub salt in that cut place. Have you ever done that? It hurts. It hurts bad, almost as bad as alcohol. But it's a good antiseptic. I've seen them do it time and time again. Get a cut place and go down and just take this sack salt and just rub it in the cut place. You're the salt of the earth. We have healing properties. Not from our own self, but from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our faithfulness to the Word of God will be our benefit to the cause of Christ. And we all need to be united on this. Speaking the same thing. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Oracles is just the oral word, the spoken word of God. God inspired these men that our Lord chose. He gave them another comforter, John chapter 16, that would guide them into all truth. He wouldn't speak of himself, but whatever he heard, that is what he would speak. The Holy Spirit spoke to the apostles the very word of God. And Peter said, if we're going to speak, we need to speak as the oracles of God. When we do this, we keep down division. As the Apostle Paul pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there, verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. He goes on to say, it's been declared to me of you, my brethren, there's divisions among you. One I'm saying I'm a Paul, one saying I'm a Cephas, one saying I'm a Christ. Paul asked the question, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, I'm thankful now I only baptized Stephanus in his household, maybe some others. Lest some would say, I baptized in my own name. That means by his own authority. In the name of means by the authority of. We're baptized in the name of or by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is not what some man would teach, what some man would say, but what the Scripture said. Matthew chapter 12, there in verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We cannot convert the world when we're fighting, backbiting, devouring one another. When there's division in the body, we can't be an effective tool to teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we are united, we're promoting love for others as well as love for each other. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. That's not easy to do. To esteem others better than yourself. That's not an easy task. We think a lot of self, don't we? I'm a pretty good fella. If you don't believe it, just ask me. That's kind of the attitude we have, isn't it? Well, that's not the way it ought to be. Paul said, I'm just your servant by whom you believe. That's all we are. We're just servants. Basically, we're bought. We're indentured servants. Yes, it's a voluntary servitude. But we're really slaves. We don't like to think of ourselves like that, but we are. If we're Christians, if we're followers of Christ, we are individuals who have been bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we all are, as we say, we're all in this boat together. We need to love and honor one another. No strife, no vainglory, but humility. We can't be lifted up with pride. We studied about Hezekiah. He had that problem. He lifted up with pride. He shows his king everything was in his house. He's real proud of what he had. But Hezekiah humbled himself. And God relented. We need to understand our need for being humble in our hearts and making sure that we help each other. We're united on this good news. We're all doing everything within our power to do what the Lord would have us to do. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Humility is so vitally important. But humility alone is not sufficient. It has to be based on the Word of God speaking the same thing, being united on the good news. Not what I think, not what you think, but what the Lord says. And finally, think about how self-denial will help. What we're doing is minding the good news, doing what it says. We have to deny ourselves to follow the Lord. Matthew 16, there, verse 24. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, Jesus is not talking about a literal piece of wood. Take up his cross. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to endure, just as our Lord did. And yes, he went to the extent of allowing himself to be nailed to a cross, to be crucified. When he was praying in the garden, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He's talking about the cup, his suffering that he would endure. The cross represents suffering. It represents self-denial. Jesus denied himself. Philippians chapter 5, he denied himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Humbled himself. In Luke chapter 14, there, verse 27, he said, whosoever does not bear his cross to come after me cannot be my disciple. If we're unwilling to deny ourselves, take up the suffering, take the suffering of Jesus Christ on ourselves, we can't be his disciple. You remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There are some things that are first. They are primary things. They come before everything that I like, everything that I want. You know, the problem is, most times, we've got too much of an I problem. I want what I want. And I want it now. That's sort of the way we think in our society. But it's not so much about me as it is about you. I have to be willing to deny myself and put my treasures in heaven, not here on the earth. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now listen to this last statement. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's my treasure? All the things I got in my house. I don't got my boat, motor, and trailer anymore. I did. Used to have one. I liked it real well. But I sold it because I wasn't going to be using it. Traveling and holding meetings, preaching with small churches all over the Northwest. It didn't have any value anymore. It wasn't very valuable to start with, but it was mine. I liked it. I enjoyed it. There are a lot of things that we have that are ours that we enjoy. But which one is the most important? The things we have here or the things that we can have in heaven? Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, he said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, remember, Paul didn't say that money was evil. He said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's wrong to covet, to want more and more. And to have the disposition of heart that doesn't matter how you get it, I just want what I want. Don't care who I have to step on to get it. That's the idea involved in coveting. As you go on reading in that same chapter, verse 17, Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world. See, it's not wrong to be rich. There's some that were rich. But charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Don't elevate themselves. The opposite of that, of course, is humility. Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Remember where all these things come from. They came from God. They're blessings that I received from Him. And I'm held accountable for how I use those things. Charge them that are rich, that be not high-minded. When we are willing to deny ourselves, it makes us stronger, it makes us better equipped to serve the Lord. When we recognize, yes, I'm just a servant. That's all I am. I'm nobody special. Yes, I'm special in the sense that Jesus died for me. He wants me to be saved. He paid an extremely high price. His own life. Gave his own life's blood. So I don't have to die spiritually. I'm going to die physically, and you are too. Unless the Lord returns before we die. But we don't have to die spiritually. We don't have to be separated from God for eternity. Because God thought enough of each of us. He loved us enough, John 3:16, that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. That's how special you are to God. But I can't think of myself as being special in my own eyes. Because I'm nothing. Scripture says, when I've done all that I am capable of doing, I still view myself as just a filthy rag. Do we think of ourselves like that? That's the way God sees us. Until we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, then He doesn't see our sin. He puts them behind Him. But even when we've done everything that's possible for us to do, we're still unprofitable servants. Self-denial, absolutely essential in our service to the Lord. So that's the question. Are you helping or hindering the work of God? Do we know what the gospel teaches? Are we doing what we can to preach the word? Or are we preaching things that please men? Are we faithful to God and His word? Doing everything within our power to fulfill our responsibilities to Him? Are we united? Are we all speaking the same thing? Or is there division among us? It was in Corinth. A major problem there in that congregation. Paul dealt with it. They got rid of the sin. It seems apparent from the tone of the second letter that they had dealt with the sin and corrected the things that need to be corrected. And so those things can be done. Are we denying ourselves? Or are we trying to get everything we want when we want it? However we can get it. Self-denial is imperative. And so ask yourself, say to them, have I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? You can't do God's work until you are part of His family. The only way you can be a part of His family is to be born into His family by spiritual birth. Romans 10:17 teaches we hear the word of God, and it produces faith in our heart. Mark 16:16 talks about faith and baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Luke 13:3 deals with repentance. Repent or perish. Romans 10:10, confession. With the heart man believes and righteous with the mouth confession and made unto salvation. 1 Peter 3:21, living the kind of life that we ought to be living, following the example of our Lord. We need to follow His example. Specifically in that passage there, Peter talks about baptism. For even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism adds us to the family of God, Galatians 3:26-27. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you've been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel and then drifted back into sin? You can't help in God's work. In fact, you're a hindrance. You have to return to the Lord. Remember the prodigal son said, I will arise and go unto my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Luke 15:18. Simon was told, repent therefore this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. Acts 8:22. If you've obeyed the gospel and you've gone back into sin, you need to repent. Ask God to forgive you. He's promised that He will. You can be restored to Him this very evening, afternoon. You can become a child of God. Whichever you need to do, why not do it this afternoon? Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to His church. If you are a Christian and you haven't been living, you should. You've been hindering instead of helping. You can come back just as Simon did if you're willing to repent and ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for encouragement.